91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. At one time, girls in Florida who were involved with the criminal justice system were either being placed in programs designed for wayward boys or placed into the system for their own protection. There were no effective alternatives. Enter PACE Center for Girls. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman. PACE, which began in 1985 with one center in Jacksonville, now operates in 19 Florida communities. PACE provides girls and young women an opportunity for a better future through education and counseling. We visit with their executive director, Sherry Thompson Giordano, and retired juvenile justice judge, Lester Langer. Of course, we'll be taking your calls. Topical Currents up next, after the news. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents, Tuesday edition. Bonnie Berman with you. Joseph Cooper is on vacation. This hour, we get a look into the PACE Center for Girls, Inc. PACE began in 1985 with one center in Jacksonville, Florida, serving just 10 girls. Today, they have 19 centers throughout the state that serve over 2,000 girls every year. Joining us now is the executive director of Miami's PACE Center for Girls, Sherry Thompson Giordano. She has many years of experience in entrepreneurial, corporate, global companies, as well as nonprofit organizations. Welcome to you, Sherry Thompson Giordano.
Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Good to have you. Now, little bit later in the program, we're going to speak with retired juvenile justice judge, the Honorable Lester Langer, as well as a young lady who is a graduate of the PACE Center. They'll be joining us in just a few minutes. But let's start first with a look at the PACE program. I knew nothing about this before researching it for this show, and it's such an important center in that it's an alternative to institutionalization or incarceration for girls. So tell us more about its history, its mission, and just paint a picture for us.
Oh, I'd love to. As you said, PACE is 30 years old. It actually, its genesis was with Vicki Burke, our founder, who noticed in the juvenile justice system that boys and girls were treated exactly the same, but girls reacted very differently. So she did some research on what we call gender-responsive and strength-based interaction and found that, you know, once we worked with girls and really allowed them to find their voice, allowed them to understand that they have a lot to offer, and did not do it in a negative way, but in a very positive manner, that girls began to blossom and flourish. And so she created PACE Center for Girls. Initially, it was an acronym for Practical Academic Cultural Education, and she worked very hard, very diligently, actually, on making sure that the strength-based part of our model remained and sustained.
So how does this happen? Are they obliged to go there at times? Are girls sent to PACE, or do they come there by choice? How does this happen?
So there are a lot of ingredients in this magic sauce that we like to call PACE, and one of them is it's a voluntary program. So girls can be referred. Our girls have either brushed up against the juvenile justice system or are doing poorly in school or not going to school, and usually the reason is some form of trauma or a risk factor that they have.
Such as?
Trauma would be an unstable family. It would be failing in school. It would be violence of some sorts in their life. And so
either against them, you're saying, in their homes or against them personally?
Yes,
okay.
Both.
Okay.
Both. And so what happens is maybe a teacher would suggest that a young girl goes to PACE, and maybe a judge, and Judge Langer will talk to you about that, will suggest, but it's not mandated. It's a referral. And so, what again, part of that magic is that when our girls come in with their family, that it's an agreement that, you know, they will come to PACE and they will follow the wonderful model, and that we also want the parents involved too.
You do want the parents. Now, there aren't always parents, I would think.
No, not sometimes they're not. So they're guardians, and mm-hmm. And we work with those guardians also.
I'm thinking, you mentioned the trauma, and I'm thinking that trauma can produce so much pain and anger. How do you cope with that in the girls there? Do you have psychiatrists, psychologists?
We have counselors. And so when you think of PACE, think of it as a school, that because we're a day center and we're a prevention intervention center. So we want to keep girls out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have started down that slope, we want to help them. Or if they're confused and not being able to really focus on studying, we want to be able to help them. So we do that in several different ways. Our classrooms are very small. It's one teacher to 12 girls. Every girl has a counselor, and she works with that counselor every week. We also have social psycho groups. So we work with groups of girls and all kind of dealing with the different trends that are happening in society at the time.
How old are these girls? What is their age range?
The range is 11 to 17 years old. And so they're middle school and high school girls.
Okay, so often it could be a teacher could notice this, or a parent, or a principal, mm-hmm. or a judge.
Right, and it's all about disengagement, isn't it? It's about a young girl becoming detached with what she should be really focusing on, and there's always a reason for that.
You say it's not a residential center.
Right.
So where do these girls live?
So they live at home. They come to us around 8 o'clock in the morning. We start classes at 8:30. We serve breakfast and lunch. All of this is complimentary to the girls. And they have classes from 8:30 to 2:43, and then they go home.
Okay, so now let me ask you, if the home has been the problem, if they're experiencing either domestic violence or abuse in one way at home, what do they do when they go back home and to the same neighborhood, perhaps, that has been the problem?
And that's the root problem, isn't it? So that's the situation is we actually ask our girls to do an awful lot because, and I'm sure Shayla will explain that, you know, we work with the girls to have a PACE model, an environment, which is not being angry, which is asking why, understanding that you have many different choices, but every decision and every choice you have, there's a different consequence. So we spend a lot of time with the girls and working with them on what those consequences are. So if you don't want a negative consequence, you would choose a different decision.
Okay.
And that's very important. And we try to carry that on to their home life. So when they go back, we do know it's difficult for them. And we do know that early on, especially when they're with us, that they might be, you know, kind of straggling both sides. But the girls know that they're loved. The girls' families know that they're cared for. And we work with the families. And so we try to make, you know, we try to do add as much value as we possibly can.
How are you funded? You say they get all this. Are you funded by the state or any municipal body, or is it private funding?
So a combination of all. So I say yes to that. So basically we are 50% of our funding comes from the Department of Juvenile Justice because we are an agent for them that really does prevent girls from going into the juvenile justice system or intervenes. And that's very important to them because, unfortunately, a lot of the girls that go into the juvenile justice system will go on to prison. So we try to intervene and prevent that from happening. About 23% of our funding comes from Miami-Dade School District because we are an alternative school for the district. And our girls, Bonnie, are with us anywhere from 12 to 24 months. And then our goal is to successfully transition them back to their home school. And so we bring the girls back at a higher grade level and more, I think, excited about learning and education.
Do you have teachers on staff there from Miami-Dade Public Schools? We're talking about the Miami Center now,
right.
But you have 19 centers mm-hmm. throughout the state.
So in each center, we have an individual contract with each school district. And so we hire our own teachers, so they are PACE employees.
I see.
But we do follow the DOE curriculum, and we definitely work very closely with the alternative program here in Miami and follow all of their guidelines.
Can you give us some statistics on the success rate of you've been, so it's 1985.
So that's one of the reasons why I came to PACE, because I just love the outcomes. And we are 94% of our girls, after they've left PACE for 1 year, go back into the school district, have maintained their higher grade level as when they left PACE. 92% of our girls, if they've been involved with the juvenile justice system, after 1 year are not. And then a number that I love is after 5 years, 88% are not. So it's a model that really works. It's after 30 years, we certainly tweak it to make sure that we stay up with the times. But it's all about schooling and counseling, and then just wrapped around a real genuine sense of caring and loving for these girls.
It's interesting, Sherry, that you have 30 years of corporate experience in the technology industry, and you said, you know, this is one of the things you like best about it. So how did you go from that world to this world?
Long journey. There's some things that are consistent, though. I always like doing new things. And so in the high-tech industry that I was in, I was always part of a new venture. So that was always very exciting to me. And it was fast-paced, and it was new to women, so that was also exciting. All along the way, though, I really loved nonprofits. I really felt that giving back to the community was very important. And I volunteered. I lived in Boston, and I volunteered for a lot of nonprofits. And what I quickly learned was that there oftentimes a nonprofit does not have a best practice built around it. It has a best program, but then it can kind of spread out and lose its true meaning. So I was always interested in how do we build best business practices. And I left my company and opened up a consulting firm, co-founded with my husband, and we focused in three areas: Fortune 500, because that was our background, small and medium-sized companies, because we wanted to stay in Miami, and nonprofits, because we really felt that we could offer something. And that was kind of my new relationship with nonprofits. And one of my clients was Pace and Broward, got to know them there, and I fell in love with Pace.
We're speaking about Pace Center for Girls with the executive director of the Miami Pace Center, Sherry Thompson Giordano. We're also going to be joined by the Honorable Lester Langer and Shayla, who's a graduate of Pace, after this short break. Please stay with us. It's Topical Currents. Welcome back to Tuesday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. We're talking about the Pace Center for Girls. There are 19 of them throughout the state of Florida. And we've been speaking with their executive director of the Miami Pace Center for Girls, Sherry Thompson Giordano. I want to bring into the conversation now retired juvenile justice judge, the Honorable Lester Langer. He's currently an independent contract mediator with the firm of Salmon and Dulberg Dispute Resolution. Welcome to you, Judge Langer.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Good to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here and join in on this.
Okay, it's our pleasure to have you. And also joining us now is Shayla. She has an amazing and inspirational story of her years before and after her graduation from Pace Center for Girls and how her life was utterly transformed, and we will hear about that. Welcome, Shayla.
Thank you.
Come a little closer there. Okay, Judge Langer, let's start with you. First of all, you spent 20 years as a circuit court judge, including those years in the juvenile justice division where you were an associate administrative judge. How did you arrive there?
Well, I got started early on in my career representing an arm of what's now known as the Department of Children and Families, which used to be called the Division of Protective Services when I was a young lawyer. So I kind of got bit by the bug of getting involved in the juvenile justice system in the early days of my career, and it just stayed with me from that point forward until today.
I see you're still on the board of directors of PACE. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm still on the board of directors, yes.
So how do most of these children come to be under your purview? Would they have to be arrested, or could you encounter them before they're in the system already?
Well, many times you encounter these kids before they actually get into the system, either through a diversion program or they're brought to your attention when parents access the system by having a child that may be out of control or chronically truant or chronically running away. They haven't really committed any crimes at this point, but they are in need of supervision, or the parents are in need of services, and they can try to access the system that way. And then these young women come to our attention or can come to our attention. And that's when we can make a referral or make a suggestion that PACE Center might be beneficial to the family and to the child in particular.
Would you explain from your viewpoint on some of the more crucial differences between young boys and young girls and how the judicial system is more suited to boys than girls?
Well, the juvenile justice system historically has generally grown up around boys, juvenile delinquents, generally most of which were considered to be boys. Girls were sort of peripheral to it. They were kind of, if you go back to hearken to the old movies of the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, you know, the girls were sort of ancillary. They weren't really committing the crimes. They were either holding the guns or holding the bags or welcoming the bad guy back home. And girls were considered kind of the same. They were kind of the accessories. They weren't really the perpetrators. But as we grew as a society, I suppose, good or bad, depending on your point of view, we began to recognize that girls were getting more involved in those kinds of situations. They were forming gangs. They were getting more involved. They're becoming more principals. A lot of things going on between girls themselves at schools primarily. You know, and out in the community, they were being abused or abandoned or used, as the case may be. And we started to try to identify what we could do. And what we found was is that most of the programs that were created were centered around boys and how boys act and boys' activities. You know, team sports and, you know, the guys would get together. But boys are different than girls, as we know. They don't interact the same way. They don't react the same way.
So has that changed? I know we have PACE Center for Girls that addresses that. But in the system itself, what you're describing, is that still the same way it is, that most of the activities or they're geared still more toward boys than girls?
I think starting sometime in kind of the end of the 90s, the beginning of 2000s, we started to get more gender-specific programs for females. We started to recognize that girls are different around the country. Judge Lederman was a leader of that here in the juvenile court, in the juvenile system here in Dade County. And we started some gender-specific programs, primarily dealing with dependent girls. And now the delinquency side of things are beginning to recognize, and started in the mid-2000s to begin to recognize that girls are different. Their needs are different. They react to things different. Psychologically, they're different. Things that might be beneficial to a boy may not be so beneficial to a girl.
Well, let's speak to a girl, okay?
Okay.
So, Shayla, you're a PACE graduate. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on all the stuff you're doing, which we're going to hold off on for the moment. But your story is an incredible story of survival against all odds, really, and it's a story of hope and redemption. So we appreciate the courage it takes for you to share it with us and with our listeners now. So if you wouldn't mind, would you just read the first sentence of a story that you wrote 2 years ago for the Believing in Girls Luncheon? Just the first sentence.
Before I came to PACE, my life wasn't always good. It was difficult growing up in a neighborhood where people walked out their doors and bullets could start flying at any moment.
Where did you grow up?
Off 92nd Street and 22nd Ave.
And what area is that called? You know,
like Little River, West Little River.
Okay. Area. So you, in your very early years, that's what you had to be afraid of. Now, from what I read in your story, it was filled with so much trauma and loss from such a young age. Tell us about your parents.
My dad was in jail when I was growing up, and my mom, she wasn't really in my life like that. I grew up with my great-grandmother. She raised me.
And then what happened to your great-grandmother?
When she passed, my auntie took guardianship of me.
Your aunt?
Yeah.
I see. So, and evidently, so what did that do to you? I mean, what were your feelings, especially describe your feelings about your mother, your father, your great-grandmother?
I was confused at first because I was young, so I really didn't know a lot that was going on. But as I got older, I started to understand they was going through their own situations and stuff like that. So they did what was best for me. So.
And after your great-grandmother passed away, evidently, according to your account, you had a lot of difficulty with your peers as well as adults. Why was that?
I think it was communication. Like, I never used to talk to people, like, open up and stuff like that. It was very hard for me because I was always closed up. I'm always in the room and stuff like that. I never really communicated with my family as well.
Did you? And you were going to school?
Yeah.
At the time?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened then? I mean, that you ended up at Pace. What happened?
A situation happened.
Okay.
Physical altercation happened at my old high school. And I went to, like, a program called Girl Power. And then they referred me over to Pace, Miami. So that's how I got there.
Now, Pace was not the place you wanted to be.
No.
No. And you were very resistant at the beginning. Why?
Because it was like an all-girls school, and I'm already bad with communication. Then that's girls, and that's like people that's like me, and that's just, I feel like it was going to be a difficult task to complete, but it wasn't.
And how did it work out? What happened when you got there?
Everybody was smiling, and everybody was cheerful, and good morning, and stuff like that. And I just got used to it. Like, I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, I could get used to this. But everybody was always happy and excited and joyful all day, every day.
Now, did you have any brush with the juvenile justice system?
Yes, the physical altercation, I got sent to jail.
You got sent to jail?
With the physical altercation, yes.
And what is that, a juvenile delinquency jail or?
Kind of sort, yeah.
And it was just for girls or for girls and boys?
The part where I was, it was girl and boys, so I'm not sure.
And how old were you?
I think it was like 15, going on 16, or one of those like that.
And Judge Langer. So did you ever meet Judge Langer,
no.
Shayla?
No.
No. So you never went that far. You never had to go before a judge.
No. I met Judge Hirsch, but mm-hmm. not Judge Langer, no.
Okay. And so you stayed in Pace for 2 years?
Yes.
And then?
Oh, I graduated. I graduated early, actually. And the graduation, well, we graduated in May, but I graduated kind of like 2015, you could say, because I stopped going to school because the grading period was over, so I didn't have to go to school anymore.
And you got your, graduated from high school?
Yeah.
You went back to high school after Pace?
No, I graduated from Pace.
And that was your?
As a Pace graduate, yes.
What would you want to say to kids, you know, that are perhaps struggling, or parents who have kids that are struggling? What would you want to say to them?
Patience is the key. Like, patience and communication, I feel like that's just me. Like, I feel like, yeah, patience and communication is the key to success, because you shouldn't give up on anything. Like, if that's what you want to do, then strive for it and don't let nobody come in between your goal. So that's what I...
Did you have dreams when you were there of what you wanted to do?
At Pace?
Before you got to Pace, did you have dreams?
Yes.
And what were they?
I wanted to be a NCIS, a National Crime Scene Investigator, at first.
Uh-huh.
Until I got to Pace. Then I switched to a dental hygienist.
And today, right now, where are you?
I'm going to Miami-Dade, going into my second year of college. I'm going for dental hygienist. Working.
And where are you working?
At the Marlins Stadium. And at Miami-Dade, the school I attend.
What are you doing at the Marlins Stadium?
A shift leader, like over the concession stands, like cash handling.
Okay. And at Miami-Dade?
working with kids, like with the summer camp, working with kids.
So young people.
Yeah.
That are about how old?
It goes from, I think, age 5 to 17.
And come in.
Okay, yes.
Sherry Thompson Giordano. So you knew Shayla at the center for these last 2 years?
Yes.
And what did you see?
We saw this incredible blossom. Shayla explained, and most of the girls, when they come in, the first comment you hear them say is, why is everybody happy? Mm-hmm. And they don't like it, right, Shayla? You didn't like it.
No, not at all.
And so, but we're genuinely pretty happy as a team of people. And what we wanted to show the girls that we respect them and love them. And so what we found is, initially, as Shayla said, they don't like it. And then they kind of like it. And then they're a little bit afraid it might go away, right? Because sometimes good things go away.
Right.
And so it's an iterative process, if you will. And then finally, when everybody comes together and understands that we're all there for the common greatness of our girls, then it's, I think, a feeling of safety, would you say?
Yeah.
That we care, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, and we work with our girls. Our girls are with us anywhere from 12 to 24 months.
Right.
And then what we do, Bonnie, is we either successfully transition them back to their home school so they can go through that process.
Or in the case of Shayla,
or in the case of Shayla, they can graduate with us. Or if they're not going to graduate, we'll work with them to get their GED. And then another area that Shayla's now experiencing that I think is very important is we have a 3-year aftercare program. So after our girls transition from us, they're still our girls. And we have counselors that work with them once a month, and also will work with their family.
So you're still working mm-hmm. with Shayla to this day.
So Miss Evelyn is still in touch with you, and what we do anything from just maybe a phone call on how are you doing, to if somebody wants to come in, we've had young girls come in and go through college. Through college applications, through job applications. We are working with Einstein's and Dell and a few other organizations to help for jobs or internships. So we want once a PACE girl, always a PACE girl is our motto, yeah. And we want them to stay with us forever.
Judge Langer, are there other centers like this? Is this one of a kind here in Florida?
Well, PACE is kind of one of a kind here in Florida. We have some juvenile justice-related programs and some other private programs, but most of them do not care for the girls quite as long. They don't have quite as extensive aftercare the way PACE Center does. And as you heard Sherry say, you know, once a PACE girl, always a PACE girl. So PACE is always around. They've been around for 30 years, so the girls know that if they really need something, they always have a place they can go to. Most other organizations do not have something like that. I mean, you have Boys and Girls Clubs and things like that have been around for a long time, too, but it's kind of a different focus as opposed to PACE, which is focused primarily on the girls and making sure they're okay, they become self-reliant, and they can, move on their own.
We're going to just take a short break. We're speaking about the PACE Center for Girls with Judge Lester Langer, who was a circuit judge in the 11th Circuit for 20 years. Sherry Thompson Giordano is the executive director of the PACE Center for Girls in Miami. And we're also speaking with Shayla, who is a graduate of PACE. Our number, if you want to call in, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. We're speaking about the PACE Center for Girls with the Miami PACE Center for Girls Executive Director Sherry Thompson Giordano. We also have Shayla, who is a graduate of the PACE Center in Miami, and retired juvenile justice judge, the Honorable Lester Langer, who is now currently a Florida Supreme Court certified civil and appellate mediator with the firm of Salmon and Dulberg Dispute Resolution. He's the immediate past chairman of the board of PACE, and he's still on their board of directors. Again, our number, 1-800-743-9576. 1, if you want to speak either about someone who you know is struggling or perhaps needs the Center for Girl, PACE Center for Girls, or perhaps you know of someone who's been there. 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org. I'd like to go back to this gender-specific topic that we're talking about. And how the correlation between the trauma, how they're more at risk in terms of sexual abuse, sexual assault, and domestic violence, and the correlation between that trauma and girls' delinquency.
And probably Judge Langer will answer this also. So, but we'll start here. At PACE, I think what we see is when you have that kind of trauma, it closes your mind to for exploration, for discovery, for wanting to learn anything, because it just in their deep roots that stop you. So oftentimes when our girls are going through a difficult period, they may be disrespectful, but they're not necessarily being disrespectful because that's what they wanted to do.
Right.
It's just what they're going through. It's maybe a wall of safety for them. And so it's up to our counselors to work with our girls to understand what are those things that are really bothering them and that they've lived through. And Bonnie, I want to add that our counselors are case managers. So when we have a girl that needs additional therapy or additional care, we work with a group of organizations throughout Miami to help that. So we may have a girl that might need therapy in anger management, a little more focus than what we're able to do with 60 girls every day.
Right.
And so we partner with those organizations because it's important for the girls to get wraparound services in addition to what we can offer. And again, it's when you walk into our center, you'll see it's a calming center. You walk off of Northwest 36th Street into a courtyard, and then it's very quiet and calm. And so we try to create an environment of safety and care and nurturing.
And Judge Langer, if you would address that same issue of how the link between the trauma and these girls' delinquency.
The link between the two is evident. A lot of these kids are traumatized at home. So what do? They run away from home. They act out at school. They get involved in gangs. Once they start doing that, then they can be abused not only at home but on the outside. They can be misused by the people on the outside who are trying to take advantage of them. Human trafficking seems to be a big thing in the news now, and a lot of these young girls are susceptible to that. They act out at school, so there's truancy problems. They lose the ability to study because they're so traumatized by the other things that are going on at home or on the outside. So ultimately, those kids either become dependent children by being abused, abandoned, or neglected, or they get involved in things that rise to the level of being a crime, and then they end up in the delinquency system. And you sort of get the confluence of school-to-prison pipeline for some of these kids, or just being out on the street, being subject to being abused by people that take advantage of these young girls, and ultimately they graduate up into the deeper part of the system.
Let's take a call from Tom. He's in Miami Beach, and he has a question. Tom, you're welcome. You're on Topical Currents.
Hi, this is Tom from Miami Beach. Thanks for having me on the line today.
Sure.
I have a 15-year-old daughter. I'm a father of two. I have a 5-year-old and a 15-year-old. I'm a part-time dad and a full-time dad here on Miami Beach. But my 15-year-old has just started getting into some problems where yesterday it happened that it got physical with her mom. Now, her mom, myself, we don't actually have the skills or know even to who reach out to. So when I heard about this today, it couldn't be closer to the mark on where my 15-year-old is. She's dabbled in marijuana already. There's a lot of love at both homes. Her mom's home is holistic. They're yoga, vegetarian. Here at the house, we're vegetarian. So there's not. She's acting out, and I just don't know how to get her back.
Sherry, do you want to address
this? Yeah, I mean, first of all, we'd love to have you contact us, or we'll contact you. It sounds like, you know, she's very fortunate. She has two loving, caring parents, and that's, you know, that's part of the battle. I mean, everybody will tell you that, and so that's fabulous. And then it's just, it's structure. I say that PACE is a steel structure with velvet wrapped around it. So it's giving her, you know, 11 other students in a classroom instead of maybe 30. It's giving a young girl that's coming in after a bad night that she might not want to share with her mom and dad what is bothering her, but she might want to share with her counselor to help her get to that next step. So we would love to have you contact us, or we can get you our number after this.
Oh, sure. No, you can give it now, please.
Oh, I actually looked up the number already.
Okay.
I think your 786 number. But on top of that, like, for example, she's in ninth grade, and she basically did not do well in her classes.
Mm-hmm.
We had her sign up last night for 3 summer classes. Now, she is in ninth grade, and she's taking AP classes. And they are, you know, they're not easy classes. But, you know, how is this going to play out? Is she going to do well on the online classes for the summer and come out of it? I don't think so. So I think she's at risk. I think she's in this category that we're talking about here today.
So I would suggest us getting together sooner than later. And one of the things I don't think we mentioned is PACE is a 12-month program, though the girls don't really like that in the beginning. They're there 12 months, and we do grade recovery. So during the
we explained to her, we had to explain yesterday that, you know, the police could be called today. Mm-hmm. The mental institution could be called today. Like, that's how far it went just yesterday.
Right.
And I think
okay.
Where you're at is exactly where I'm at, and I think this is a good example for people. If they're going through these problems and maybe just don't have the resources or the knowledge how to deal with this properly.
Well, please give us a call.
What is the number?
I'm going to give you, the number is...
And we will have it on our website as
thank
well.
Thank you. 786-254-2460. That's my number, and we'll get you to the right person.
So it's 786-254-2460.
Yes.
Now, if they go to pacecenter.org, will it lead them to
yes.
the Miami? Okay. All right. So that, too. Again, our number is 1-800-743.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, very much for calling. And we wish you the best with your daughter.
God bless.
1-800-743-9576 is the number to call. The email is radio@wlrn.org. We need to take another short break, our last break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We're speaking about the PACE Center for Girls with the Miami PACE Center Executive Director, Sherry Thompson Giordano. Also with us is retired juvenile justice judge, the Honorable Lester Langer, currently an independent contract mediator with the firm of Salmon and Dahlberg. And also Shayla, who is a graduate of PACE. Shayla, let's bring you back into the conversation. What would you want to say to girls who, well, even to Tom, who just called, what would you say to the parent of somebody who's struggling with their daughter? Come a little closer.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My advice to them really is, like, have faith and, like, take your time with them, like, Don't give up, because if they see that you're giving up on them, then they're going to just go down. Always not compliment them, give them a hug, let them know, like, that you're proud of them, like, let them know basically that you love them and that you're there to support them through whatever. And for the girls, everybody is creative. You're capable of doing anything. So as long as you put your mind to it, you don't let nobody get in your way, then you will succeed.
What did you, Sherry, you wanted to talk a little bit more about?
A few things. I'm so proud of our program. And as I mentioned, that we're funded through the Department of Juvenile Justice and the Miami School District.
and that covers about 73% of our funding, and so the rest of the 23% is privately raised. So we're excited to be in Miami. We're new in Miami, 3 years, and you know what, my goal is to have us be a household name at the end of two more years, and that we're here to really, really help people. The other thing is, I think it's important, you and discuss with the judge about PACE and how many organizations are like this. The Edna McConnell Clark Foundation out of New York and the Social Innovation Fund out of D.C. have been funding us for several years because we are the only prevention intervention gender-responsive, strength-based organization in the country, and have really helped us in funding for organizational growth. And we will be moving into Georgia in the next year or two. So This is an organization we feel that we've become a movement for women and for girls, and part of that is this model that we have.
We have an emailer, Zandra, says she's a bit confused. The PACE program sounds wonderful. The compassion of the director is very apparent. But the PACE program I've known about was for girls who got pregnant while in high school. Is the program you're discussing a progression of the PACE I remember?
So I think that program was COPE. Which is often confused with PACE.
Okay.
And so, no, we've remained true to our mission, and COPE was a school. I don't think it's here any longer, but certainly was a girl, worked with young girls.
So it's a different
school. Yeah.
And Michelle writes, she's enjoying the program on the PACE Center for Girls. She knows it to be a good program that has helped many young women transition to a better life. The reason I'm familiar with the PACE Center is that I spent 25 years as a high school guidance counselor, guidance director, and have been retired for 2 years. During my tenure with Broward Schools, I referred many girls to the PACE Center in Fort Lauderdale. Your program didn't mention getting referred through the girls' guidance counselors, and I hope you will remedy that so students and parents know that the school's guidance department is a resource.
The student guidance department is an important resource to us, and I apologize for that. And let me just then say, we also are self-referral, so anybody can refer our girls. So it is counselors and principals, teachers, pastors,
parents.
We have had girls that have referred other girls to the center.
Shayla, have you referred any girls to the center?
Yes.
Do you mentor other girls?
Not really. When I was there, yes, but not really like now.
But you still are recommending sometimes that people go to the center?
Yes.
Well, and an exciting announcement is when we start our alumni club, Shayla's going to be our president.
Yeah. Oh. One more thing on the agenda.
On your bucket list.
Okay. Let's speak to Yvonne, who's in Miami Shores. Welcome, Yvonne.
Hi. Yes, thank you. I was lucky enough to serve on the board of the Women's Fund of Miami-Dade County, and we funded PACE several times and got to know the organization, and we're really, really proud of the money that we were able to direct to them. But I wanted to ask Sherry to talk a little bit about the self-governing that the girls do. Once they're a PACE girl, they're kind of mentored by each other. Isn't that fair to say?
I think that is fair to say, Yvonne, and thank you. We, too, love the Women's Fund very, very much. You have supported us in everything from our program to robotics workshops, which I'm proud to say we're doing at right now, actually. And I think, it's about self-respect that we teach. And so the girls learn to respect themselves. And as they do that, respect one another. And I think at the end of the day, Yvonne, what happens is that they respect the environment that they're in. And they want to make sure that that environment stays true and stays in place. So it's funny to watch when young girls come in, when they're new. Our older girls are like, no, you don't do that way. And yet those are the same things that those girls did when they came in. So I think you're right that the girls work hard to make sure that they stay.
Okay, Yvonne, thank you so much for calling.
Sure, thank you.
Okay. You know, Shayla, that's something I was going to ask you about the respect or the self-esteem that you may not have had that you gained. Can you talk about that?
I always had self-esteem, like for myself, like self-confidence and everything.
You're fortunate.
Yeah, I am very. But it was like hard going in there, like, and then it was like kids that was worse than me, like that was going through like a whole different world, like, and that I never knew of. Like, you would never know just looking at somebody what they're going through. So like, I just helped.
That's true.
Yeah. So we basically just coped, like, what they was going through. They gave me advice, and I gave them advice about my situation. So it was like a win-win situation. We just basically helped each other out, like. Yes, pretty much.
Judge Langer, when a girl comes before you, what criteria did you use to determine whether or not a girl was a candidate for the PACE Center?
Well, depending on how they came through the door, if they came through as a child in need of services, or what we call a SINS-FINS kid, a family in need of services, that was a little easier because they weren't facing any criminal charges or delinquent charges. It would depend on the level of charges. If they were lower misdemeanors, let's say a shoplifting or a trespass, or, you know, something may have happened at school, then you would be in a position to suggest to the state attorney and to the defense attorneys that perhaps PACE might be a better alternative than going through the system. So you might be able to divert the kids out.
Right.
If there was a felony type situation, you know, there were injuries involved or weapons involved, then your choices were limited until you got some of those issues resolved, and then perhaps a little later on, once the kids had completed whatever they may have had to do at that point, PACE might become an alternative at that point. But the earlier people can bring their kids in, or at least address those issues, the better opportunity a judge would have to make that suggestion and the state to agree with that to allow the kids to go over to PACE once they got touched into the delinquency or dependency system, as the case may be.
I was going to ask, what role do drugs play here? Is that problematic?
Well, it depends. Again, it depends. Sometimes the kids are self-medicating, so they use drugs to self-medicate to kind of get away from their problems at home. Or sometimes it could be a parent or guardian or caretaker that may have a substance abuse problem that's causing the child not to be at home,
right,
or causing the violence or causing whatever the other situation is that at home that's causing the child to either leave home or act out at school, or, you know, create other situations, dangerous situations for that child. So yes, alcohol does play a part in that. It's just a question of where on that continuum the child might find themselves.
And Sherry, I wanted to ask you about the volunteer component. You have a very strong volunteer component at PACE. Tell us about that. And if somebody's interested, what are the opportunities?
Excellent. Thank you, Fred, for asking us that. So we have lots of different opportunities. We love to have role models come in and speak to our girls to explain the different careers and wonderful opportunities there are for them. So we can have people come in and work on the program. We are always looking for tutors and for teachers' aides. And on our administrative side and our development side, we have a wonderful board, which the judge is definitely part of and helped found. And also, we're looking for people that want to be on our different committees. So we have fundraising committee and marketing committee. And we have lots for people to do. And you also get that extra bonus of being able to work with the girls.
Well, I see Debbie was actually going to ask about volunteering, so now we have covered that. And to do that, again, is it the number or just go ahead?
So it's 786-254-2460.
Well, we want to thank Sherry Thompson Giordano. She's the executive director of the PACE Center of Miami, and she has many, many years of experience in corporate, global, entrepreneurial, and nonprofit organizations. We want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bonnie. This was fabulous.
And Judge Lester Langer served as a circuit court judge in the 11th Circuit for 20 years. He's currently a Florida Supreme Court certified civil and appellate mediator with the firm of Salmon and Dahlberg Dispute Resolution. Judge, thank you so much, Judge Langer, for being with us today.
Bonnie, thank you for giving us the opportunity to let the community know that PACE is here and we're ready and willing to help whoever needs it.
Okay, thank you. And Shayla, thank you for sharing your story, bringing light to bear on the harsh realities of life of so many of our youth in South Florida, and congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us. Our program was produced by Polly Landis, technical direction from online producer Jason Zapko. Richard Ives is lead producer. You can download the program from our website, WLRN.org, or the iTunes podcast of each program. Tomorrow we consider genius and the demons or disorders that often stir them to great heights. Bonnie Berman for Joseph Cooper. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.